From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Mr. Speaker, under U.S. law, it is illegal for you or me or any American to provide any type of assistance to Al-Qaeda, ISIS, or other terrorist groups.
That was Representative Tulsi Gabbard, Democrat of Hawaii, in Congress on December 8th.
If we broke this law, we'd be thrown in jail. Yet the U.S. government's been violating this law for years, directly and indirectly supporting allies and partners of groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS, with money, weapons, intelligence, and other support in their fight to overthrow the Syrian government. A recent New York Times article confirmed that rebel groups supported by the U.S., quote, have entered into battlefield alliances with the affiliate of Al-Qaeda in Syria, formerly known as al-Nusra. The Wall Street Journal reports that rebel groups are, quote, doubling down on their alliance with Al-Qaeda. This alliance has rendered the phrase moderate rebels meaningless. We must stop this madness. We must stop arming terrorists. I'm introducing the Stop Arming Terrorists Act today to prohibit taxpayer dollars from being used to support terrorists. Mr. Speaker, I yield back.
Gabbard's bill, the Stop Arming Terrorists Act, or SATA, is a bipartisan effort co-sponsored by Democrats Peter Welch from Vermont and Barbara Lee from California, as well as Republicans Dana Rohrabacher from California and Thomas Massey from Kentucky. The bill, which would forbid the U.S. government from using taxpayer funds to arm, fund, or train terrorist organizations, appears aimed primarily at ending the CIA program smuggling arms to so-called rebels in Syria. President-elect Donald Trump has expressed his opposition to such programs and has promised to put an end to the covert war against the Syrian government. Gabbard's bill forbids support to ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and Jabhat Fateh al-Sham, the rebranded version of Al-Qaeda's al-Nusra Front, and their allies, as well as foreign nations which provide support for those groups. The prohibition against foreign backing of such groups includes nations like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey, which have openly backed a number of them. It could also include Israel, which has openly boasted of treating some of the wounded members of those terrorist groups. Gabbard's attempt to end U.S. support of terrorists in Syria, however, did not extend to the U.N. Security Council Tuesday, where Samantha Power, the U.S. permanent representative to that body, presented the U.S. view of events taking place in Aleppo.
Thank you. Here's what is happening right now in eastern Aleppo. Syrians trapped by the fighting are sending out their final appeals for help, or they are saying their goodbyes. A doctor named Muhammad Abu Rajab left a voice message. This is a final distress call to the world. Save the lives of these children and women and old men. Save them. Nobody is left. You might not hear our voice after this. A photographer named Amin al-Halabi wrote on Facebook, I am waiting to die or be captured by the Assad regime. Pray for me and always remember us. A teacher named Abdul Kafi Alhamdo said, I can tweet now, but I might not do it forever. Please save my daughter's life and others. This is a call from a father. Another doctor told a journalist, remember that there was a city called Aleppo that the world erased from the map and history. This is what is happening in eastern Aleppo. This is what is being done by member states of the United Nations who are sitting around this horseshoe table today. This is what is being done to the people of eastern Aleppo, to fathers and mothers and sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, like each of us here. It is extremely hard to get information, of course, out of the small area still held by the opposition. You will hear this as an alibi, as a way of papering over what video testimony, phone calls, and others are bringing us live. You will hear this invoked, that it is hard to verify. It is deliberate. The regime of Bashar al-Assad Russia, Iran, and their affiliated militia are the ones responsible for what the UN called a complete meltdown of humanity. And they are showing no mercy. No mercy despite their territorial conquest. Even now, no mercy. In the last 24 hours alone, pro-Assad forces reportedly killed at least 82 civilians, including 11 women and 13 children. These forces are reportedly entering homes and executing civilians on the spot, as we have heard. And according to the Office for the High Commissioner of Human Rights, foreign militias like Iraqi Harakat al-Nujaba organization are involved in these killings. Where civilians are able to run the gauntlet and make it across the front lines, Syrian intelligence agencies are pulling people aside and sending them away, perhaps to be gang-pressed to the front lines, likely to the same prisons where we know the Assad regime tortures and executes those in its custody. In light of these reports, we join others, and especially the Secretary General, in one of his final appeals, reiterating our call to the Assad regime and Russia to stop their assault on Aleppo, to protect civilians. We call on Russia and Assad to allow impartial international observers into the city to oversee the safe evacuation of the people who wish to leave, but who justifiably fear that if they try, they will be shot in the street or carted off to one of Assad's gulags. The Assad regime and Russia appear dead set on seizing every last square inch of Aleppo by force, no matter how many innocent bodies pile up in their wake. But we keep insisting on answering the UN call for access, for safe and orderly evacuation, because we are not willing to accept that innocent men, women, and children can be butchered simply because they happen to live in a conflict area. Our shared humanity and security demands that certain rules of war hold, the most basic. And it is up to each and every one of us here to defend those rules. To the Assad regime, Russia, and Iran, three member states behind the conquest of and carnage in Aleppo, you bear responsibility for these atrocities by rejecting UN, ICRC evacuation efforts. You are signaling to those militia who are massacring innocents to keep doing what they are doing. Denying or obfuscating the facts, as you will do today, saying up is down, black is white, will not absolve you. When one day there is a full accounting of the horrors committed in this assault of Aleppo, and that day will come sooner or later, you will not be able to say you did not know what was happening. You will not be able to say you were not involved. We all know what was happening, and we all know you were involved. Are you truly incapable of shame? Is there literally nothing that can shame you? Is there no act of barbarism against civilians, no execution of a child that gets under your skin, that just creeps you out a little bit? Is there nothing you will not lie about or justify?
Vitaly Churkin, the permanent representative of the Russian Federation, answered Powers' charges with a few of his own.
Thank you, President. My statement will be made up of four small parts. First, propaganda, disinformation, psychological war. These aren't new concepts. A new phenomenon exacerbated by the phenomenon that we've seen during the Syrian conflict is the spread of fake news. For their fabrication, they stoop to even using children. We don't want the Secretariat of the UN to be used as an instrument in this cynical game. Now, I don't want to remind the Western Troika that summoned today's meeting and that spoken so grandiloquently of the role that they played in the emergence of ISIS as a result of the US-British invasion in Iraq and as a result of their policy, their creation of ISIS. I don't want to remind them of the role that those three countries played in exacerbating the Syrian crisis that led to these dreadful consequences and led to the resurgence of Syria and Iraq of terrorist organisations there. But in particular, what I find very strange was the statement by the US representative, who built her statement as if she was Mother Teresa. Now, please remember what country you're representing. Remember your own country's track record, and then you can start opining from the position of any moral supremacy. And who's guilty for what? Who's to blame? Well, I think in that story, I think God will tell us ultimately. Now, part two of my statement, information... reports as of yesterday evening, Syrian authorities are in full control yesterday evening of over 90% of the city of Aleppo. The square, the militants now only hold 3 kilometers squared. In 24 hours, the Syrian army has freed up another 11 neighborhoods in eastern Aleppo. In 24 hours of the regions of Aleppo still under militant control, with the help of the Russian Reconciliation Center for the Warring Parties, over 7,000 civilians have been taken out, including over 3,000 children. So we've seen the surrender and exit from the country over 370 militants. Since the start of the operation, over 110,000 civilians have been taken out of the city, including 44,000 children. Many thousands of children have returned to their homes in the liberated parts of the west of the city. 3 humanitarian actions have been taken place in the last 24 hours, during which civilians in temporary points of shelter in eastern Aleppo have received humanitarian supplies. In Al-Azizi, around 1 ton, in Sheikh Massoun, 1 ton has been delivered in the neighbourhood of Al-Malakhij. Around 1.5 tons of supplies have got through. For civilians leaving Aleppo under the control of illegal armed groups, hot food stores and emergency food products are being provided to the. In 24 hours, 16 hectares squared of kilometres have been demined, and over 40 buildings have been freed of IEDs, including schools, an elderly home and a park, as well as 2.5 kilometres of roads. Russian sappers in the last 24 hours have disactivated in eastern Aleppo, the parts that have been liberated, have disassembled over 1,000 explosive devices. Schools were being used as headquarters for Sharia court, points of meeting places for militants, as well as factories for production of homemade rockets. None were being used for their original purposes, schools or hospitals. Finally, currently the Syrian army is completing liberation of Aleppo from radical militants, including from al-Nusra terrorists, who earlier repeatedly refused to leave the city through the safe route. Moreover, not only did they continue hostilities against government forces, stating that it was better to die than to surrender, but regularly shelled civilian neighbourhoods in Aleppo, killing completely innocent women, children and elderly. Moreover, they hampered any withdrawal civilians from leaving areas of control under the militants, opening fire on civilians who are trying to break out towards the west of Aleppo. That fact is confirmed by numerous witness testimonies, including from among personnel from international humanitarian agencies. Now, as to mass arrests and disappearances and bloody reprisals against so-called civilian activists, we have no such information. An hour ago, we contacted our embassy in Damascus, which is in contact with the Syrian authorities and the high command of the Russian army in Syria. This information was categorically denied. Naturally, those militants leaving the city could have taken part, been complicit in crimes, as well as attacks on a Russian field hospital. We believe that in this situation, these are justified measures. These are Al-Nusra Tuzeris, Nureddin al-Bangi, and as well as other terrorist groups. However, I want to stress this in particular, the vast majority of former members of the illegal armed groups that have handed themselves over to the authorities as a result of the amnesties, having gone through the procedures, returned to their families. Now, the most important thing, the counter-terrorist operation in Aleppo will conclude in the next few hours. All militants, together with members of their family and the injured, currently are going through agreed corridors in directions that they've chosen themselves voluntarily, including towards Idlib. At checkpoints, we have officers of the Russian Center for Reconciliation for the warring parties working. And any as to arbitrary arrests or other violations of this agreement that was concluded with the illegal armed groups, the Russian military has not reported any such violations taking place. Moreover, this information can be confirmed by representatives currently based in Aleppo of the international of the ICRC, as well as all UN humanitarian agencies working in Aleppo, headed by the resident coordinator there. And the final thing, we are responding to all addresses sent to us, including from the US delegation, with regards to alleged reports on certain abuses or violations of international humanitarian law. I'll read out the text of a response of our officer, our military representative in Geneva, to a request that he received from Jan Ekeland and in Stefan de Mistura's apparatus. He's responsible for humanitarian issues. The response reads as follows. Having received a signal that from East Aleppo, cases of ill treatment by government forces against civilians, the Russian Reconciliation Center has begun an immediate investigation into such accusations. Yesterday and today, Russian officers visited all liberated regions. They spoke with commanders and civilians. Not a single fact of ill treatment or violations of international humanitarian law against civilians of East Aleppo was discovered. The incidents that you listed are not credible. At the same time, facts have been detected of crimes committed by terrorists in the Ereshkigal neighbourhood. The bodies were found of people who had been tortured for trying to leave the city. In Ansara Mujahid, mines, schools and hospitals were found. In the neighbourhood of Insraki Sark, documents were collected of a Sharia court with sentences delivered against civilians. All headquarters of terrorists were located either in schools, mosques or hospitals. Thousands of witness testimonies were collected of civilians of torture suffered at the hands of terrorists. Hopefully you'll have the bravery and courage to report on this. So yes, we really do hope that the Secretariat of the UN has the courage and objectivity to state and report all this and not try to, in a one-sided manner, blame everything on the Syrian government and, as they've said here, to those who support them, including Russia. In so doing, you are guarding the terrorists if you do that. You are protecting the terrorists. I thank you, sir.
Bashar Ja'afari, Syria's permanent representative to the United Nations, closed the 1 hour and 42-minute session with these comments.
Tolstoy made a phrase famous, and I think it worth quoting today. Before casting judgment on others, you need to begin by judging yourself. Plato said that the crueler a lie is, the more easy it is to believe. President, having listened very carefully to the representative of the United States, it is my understanding that the Syrian government is understood to be responsible for genocide and crimes against humanity, at least in their eyes. It is my understanding, I beg your pardon, that the United States therefore must have committed similar crimes in Palestine, Vietnam, Rwanda, Nicaragua, and in the Great Lakes region. The government of the United States has been responsible for such actions, whether that be in Cuba, Venezuela, or the former Yugoslavia, or in Grenada. So I'd like to begin my statement by saying that my government is innocent of the charges of such crimes of having committed genocide. We'll perhaps clarify our position in this statement or later, but we will make it very clear that we're innocent of the accusations levelled at us. President, certain members of this Security Council have, since the beginning of the terrorist war that has wrecked my country of Syria, have attempted to submit draft resolutions and called for emergency meetings, as is the case today. They wish to have emergency briefings on the basis of fallacious information and on false testimonies. And such briefings are called every time that the Syrian army and its allies make headway against the armed terrorist groups that are supported by the governments who call for these emergency briefings. These are not civilians. These are armed terrorist groups that we're waging war against. That situation, repeated so often in the past, is the same today. The highest official of this organization, the United Nations Secretary General, who has only 2 or 2.5 weeks to go before the end of his mandate, rushed in to make a statement on the situation on the city in Aleppo on the basis of unverified and unconfirmed information. And he himself admitted that the information was unconfirmed. He said himself that the United Nations was unable to independently verify the reports they were receiving. Those were his very words this morning. If the Secretary General is unable to verify the reports emerging from Aleppo, why then has he published this information and made this information public in his statement, as he did this morning, in an attempt to undermine the Syrian government and its allies in its fight against terrorism? I think we have every right to ask why the United Nations, which is supposed to be a source of credible information, is publishing declarations and statements and making judgments and findings on the basis of doubtful information. They can only be doing so if the goal of certain individuals in this organization is to serve the agendas of certain member states who are seeking to undermine and topple the Syrian government and to undermine its allies and wish to give political and media coverage to the terrorist groups, painting them in the light which they do not deserve in order to serve their own interests. I would like to avow once again, President, to you, to the Security Council, and to those member states of the United Nations who still uphold international law and the Charter of the United Nations and the relevant resolutions of the Security Council on combating terrorism, that the actions of the Syrian government, and I repeat this point before you all, but our actions and those of our allies in Aleppo and across Syria are the expression of the constitutional and legal right of the government of the Syrian Arab Republic to protect its citizens against terrorism. This has guided our actions. We have taken such action all the time, abiding by international humanitarian and human rights law. I denounce and reject all fabricated reports used by the delegations of the United States, France, and the United Kingdom, as well as their partners and allies, which claim that the Syrian government is deliberately targeting civilians in Aleppo. I would like to reiterate that the actions of the Syrian government since the very outbreak of operations in Aleppo, whether that be the opening of a exit road to allow people to flee and to allow for the provision of aid, including shelters and medical aid and food, all the actions we've taken with regard to Aleppo have had the overarching goal of protecting civilians and of preserving life. Allow me at this stage to show you some photos that I have. This is what the Syrian army is doing in Aleppo. Here you see a picture of a Syrian soldier providing help and succor to a woman, helping her get out of a car. He is making his body a bridge so that this woman can get down or can get out of this vehicle. She's a woman fleeing eastern Aleppo. These are the humanitarian and self-sacrificing actions that we are engaged in, that the Syrian army is engaged in. Here you have a picture of another Syrian soldier who is carrying a civilian woman who is trying to flee the region, trying to flee the terrorists. He is seeking to carry her on his shoulders, to help her on her way. Here you have an image of Syrian soldiers who are organizing the distribution of food aid to civilians after they've managed to flee eastern Aleppo. I have many other similar such photos, but I know that time is pressing. President, it is astounding that all of the reports of your Security Council speak to the presence of tens of thousands of terrorists and mercenaries, including FTFs, in Syria, coming from more than 100 countries. That's a figure that was cited by the distinguished representative of Egypt. However, some, in order to protect their terrorists, reject the Syrian government's attempts to identify verify the identity of certain people leaving Aleppo, including previously terrorist-controlled areas of Aleppo. We wish to check their identity in order to ensure that they can't infiltrate other areas to make sure they are not terrorists or foreign terrorist fighters seeking to carry out their nefarious actions in other parts of Syria or indeed in other countries, including perhaps your countries. I have dozens of photos showing these terrorists, showing these individuals decapitating those who are seeking to flee eastern Aleppo, civilians seeking to flee eastern Aleppo. I also have pictures of these so-called heroes, the terrorist fighters, fleeing in the stream of civilians dressed as women to disguise themselves. They don women's clothing to flee eastern Aleppo, in the ranks of the women and children fleeing eastern Aleppo. But because we've been able to carry these identity checks, the Syrian army has been able to find themselves. The highest hypocrisy is the attempt to judge and accuse the Syrian government on the basis of reports that have only been verified by the intelligence agencies of those calling for emergency meetings on Syria on the basis of unverified testimonies by civilians in eastern Aleppo. These testimonies are then picked up, but we have counter testimonies. We have testimonies of civilians who talk about the practices of armed terrorist groups in eastern Aleppo, who talk about their suffering in eastern Aleppo. And these testimonies of what's really happening in Aleppo have been picked up by the media and by the press. I'm talking here not just about Arabic speakers. The height of hypocrisy, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that the delegates of those states who, on the basis of these erroneous reports, continue to repeat the lie that the Syrian government is besieging its own people and depriving them of medicine and food. And those same states that press that fallacious story deny the actual facts, the fact that terrorist groups have seized supplies in eastern Aleppo, that it is them who have pilfered food and medicine that was aimed at delivery to the civilian population. Why does that story go untold? How could a sensible individual believe for 1 minute that tens of thousands of terrorists that the Syrian army is fighting in eastern Aleppo have been able to carry out their terrorist acts for more than 4 years and survive and to be able to continue to target infrastructure, the Syrian army and civilians without their sponsors, including some sponsors who are members of the Security Council, providing them with the supplies that they needed, including arms, weapons and protection, as well as material supplies? President, I firmly and 100% reject the allegations put by certain members of the Security Council in this statement, talking about acts of revenge, summary execution and terror waged against Syrian civilians by the Syrian government and its forces. As for our actions targeting terrorists, these are part of the prerogative of the Syrian government. It's exactly what you did in the streets of Nice, Paris, London, Boston, Oklahoma, and in North Carolina, as well as in Cairo and in Sinai, Tunis, Nigeria, Kenya, and many other countries, including, for example, Tanzania. You have also fought against and combated terrorism, and we have the right to do the same. Finally, President, I would like to say that it is surprising that the ambassador of the United Kingdom said that he doesn't believe that there are any terrorists in Aleppo, that no terrorism is being prosecuted there. We're talking here about a statement by a permanent member of the Security Council who, together with his colleagues, has contributed to the adoption of 16 resolutions on Syria. 8 of those 16 resolutions are resolutions on combating terrorism, resolutions that were adopted because of the Syrian crisis. And all of those resolutions reaffirm the right of the government of the Syrian Arab Republic, together with your government, to tackle terrorism as you are doing in Iraq. We're able to do the same in Syria. So how can you then deny the presence of terrorism in Syria when the UK has voted in favour of 8 resolutions on counterterrorism activities and combating terrorism? If I may make a correction, President, if you'll allow me, you said in your own statement, or rather you asked a question in your own statement, should we wait for the fall of Aleppo or the collapse of Aleppo? Allow me to correct you. This is not the fall of Aleppo. This is the liberation of Aleppo. The terrorists threatened the safety and security of the citizens of this city, and we are liberating and releasing them for that. Thank you very much.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.